The Book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. Again, the first part. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. A question arises. What price is necessary to pay to gain favor from the Lord? So practically for us is presented here the principle of how the Lord gives His grace for grace, His gratitude for our gratitude, His favor for our favor, His forgiveness for our forgiveness, His kingdom for our poverty, His comfort for our contrition, His inheritance for our meekness, His fulfillment for our longing and thirst, His ability to show us our inheritance in Christ Jesus, thanks to the cleanliness of our heart, the kingdom of heaven, for the ability to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. As we see, the Lord wants to give His favor, but it is necessary to gain it, meaning it is necessary to pay a price or to collaborate our faith with the faith of God, so that showing Him favor, we can receive favor from God. Let's look at seven components, although Apostle Leocadia says that there are many more, but this is enough for us to define those boundaries of light in which abides this true principle. The first component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is comprised of accepting our salvation in Christ. So it is necessary to correctly accept our salvation in Christ Jesus. Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We see here that favor is found in Christ Jesus. In order for us to have favor, it is necessary to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, to make water baptism, and then, as we saw today, to make a covenant with Zion, with the church, to then make a covenant with the truth. So that then this truth, out of the seed of the word of truth, could become for us the word of righteousness. Therefore, everything begins with Jesus Christ, because only in Him, in Jesus Christ, in His body, is His favor. The second component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is the requirement to not forget the instruction of our Father, or rather, the revelation of the path toward the knowledge of God. Then Moses said to the Lord, "I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Very interesting phrase, as we know together that here Moses says, I have a certain kind of favor, and when you show me the path to my true calling, then I will gain the second format of favor. Therefore, if I have found favor in your Son, Jesus Christ, allow me to find this favor in the fruit of righteousness, and that promise that lies at the door of our hope. So here Moses had shown that there are two kinds of favor. The first is when we find it in Christ Jesus in the seed of the word of truth. And the second kind of favor is when we grow it into the fruit of righteousness. The third component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is the requirement to not forget the instruction of our Father and to keep His commandments. Proverbs 3:1-4, "My son, do not forget my instruction, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So if we do not have the status of a son, we do not have the status of His favor. Each son has a father. Not many fathers, but one Father. And there might be many instructors. These instructors, if they don't say what the Father says, then we have the privilege to always come to the Father and to verify those instructors that work with Him in one army, one command, and to double check if they are correctly understanding the word that is instructed from the Father. The fourth component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is comprised of taking a good and understanding heart, not just a good heart, but also an understanding heart, or to have a renewed mind. This is the place of scripture that outlines this. Proverbs 12:2. A good man, or a person with a good heart, obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. And another one, Proverbs 14:35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. So here we have seen a good heart and a wise heart, or a mind that has been renewed by the spirit of our mind. As we know, our mind cannot be renewed if we have an evil heart or a foolish heart. A carnal person has a foolish heart because in order for it to be good, it is necessary to implement in it the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is found in his preached word, not just in the truth, but in the preached truth. So through the person who represents the fatherhood of God, and he through his sermon as a father to a son passes along this wisdom. I, as son, accept this truth, and then I begin to ponder and to reason over this truth and save my soul, so that then my soul, together with my heart, through the proclamation of my lips, can also adopt my body. The fifth component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is comprised of proclaiming with our mouth the faith of our heart. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. So the first favor from the Lord is when we offer our sacrifice to the doors of the tabernacle, and then when a priest offers a sacrifice and I offer my hand, then this is favor from the Lord and the cleansing of sins. So we need to not just collaborate our lips with the church, but also to first collaborate with our heart. It is necessary to bring ourselves to the tabernacle of testimony and then to raise our hands over the offering and to proclaim the faith of God that is given in this church. The sixth component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord depends on the level of our spiritual age. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. So when we come to the favor of the Lord, we must understand this small thing, that we are always going to come and find favor from the vessels of mercy. And if I do not have vessels of mercy but vessels of anger, then we must understand that the favor of God cannot be spoken of. Two important factors are necessary. What does God say of me? And what do saints say of me? If all the saints speak negatively, then here it's necessary for me to think about this. Why? Because I read about Samuel, it is said, that he found favor both with the Lord and men, saints, vessels of mercy. They loved him, cherished him, and acknowledged him. And the seventh component of the price for gaining favor from the Lord is comprised of offering the first of our fruits before the Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 10 through 11. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord and be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So each time we honor God with tithes and offerings, we, in doing so, allow God to reveal for us his mercy. And of course, tithes are not just 10%, because the Lord is not a director of a corporation. He is our Heavenly Father. We pray our Father who is in heaven. We don't pray the director of a large corporation that is found in heaven, because sometimes people work together with him. I gave you this amount, you give me this. And when you tell a person that you must honor God, yes, I know I must. Must you give offerings? Yes, I must. Must you give what is holy unto the Lord? Yes. Must you give tithes? Are you talking about percentages? And then when you begin talking about percentages, it's painful for a person. A person says 10%, this is all. Well, tithes are not just 10%. Tithes are a law, but what is interesting is that this is the law of grace. The law of grace that with its shadow also found its place in the law and once again illuminated itself in the new covenant. This is the law of grace. And saints behaved with great trembling towards tithes. Take a look at the first apostolic church. Scripture says when it began to multiply the disciples and the church is multiplied only when the disciples multiply in it. When the disciples begin to multiply, then there was the Hellenes that were there. Hellenes were those that had believed on the Gentiles. They were Greeks. They had spoken out against the Jews that their Gentile traditions was neglected. And those that stood at the cash register or at the banks, they said, first we'll give to the Jewish woman and then we'll give to the Gentiles. They say, we'll believe in one God. We have one God. Well, there are still differences between us. And then they began to moan and groan. And the apostles then gathered all of the disciples and said, here's what we will do. First, we are going to choose seven people. Second, these seven people must be known, tested. Third, they must be filled with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And then right away is written about the life and sermon of Stephen. We see that he was filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, and he did many signs and wonders. And this person was placed that he to deal with administrative works. That is true, because the apostles did not view that what was holy unto the Lord was the Old Testament. They knew that this was the law of spirit of life, and the law of spirit of life is more stricter than the law of Moses. Much more strict. Therefore, they chose seven people. These were the best preachers, the servants of the word. They were entrusted the bank account so that they could correctly deal with the finances in the church. And therefore, the biblical principle, seven times verify and one time cut off. So first, verify, and only then fully trust. Sometimes people have a different principle, trust but verify. This also isn't bad. It's not bad when we can't find worthy people. Then it is necessary to trust a person, but at the same time, we must seven times double check. And the other principle, the deadly one, trust and never verify. This principle is when we come to the Valley of Achor, then instead of rocks that were for idols, we won't find anything else. What is holy unto the Lord for us to not discover fallen rocks or fallen stones. When we go to the Valley of Achor, we will honor God, meaning worship Him. Worship what is hallowed unto Him and to give it to Him at His disposal. Let us stand and sing a psalm and worship before the Lord. This is a great privilege. And this privilege, as we know, is found not just in the New Covenant, in the Old Testament. This is the law of grace. And the apostle says that the law of grace is far more strict than the law of Moses. And if there in the law of Moses people tried to outrun punishment and couldn't, then scripture says, do you think that in the law of grace someone will leave for me? Not one will leave without punishment if he spits against the direction of what is holy unto the Lord and will attribute it to himself. He will be punished, either in time or in eternity. Let us sing a psalm.
Yeah. Господне слово.
Allow me to again repeat after Pastor Gadi that each time the people of Israel had honored God with tithes and offerings, either in the Tabernacle of Testimony or the Temple of Solomon, they were called to, according to the words of Moses, which he had received as a revelation from God, to raise their hands over their offerings and to proclaim one proclamation that they were faithful to for thousands of years. We, being that same Israel, tied to that same root, drinking from the same olive tree, will do the same thing. Please raise your right hand, a symbol of your righteous act, and please pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated the tithes from my home and have brought them into your home so that your home may have food. I did not give in sorrow. I did not give impurely. I did not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I'm glad that I have the privilege to express my love and to acknowledge your authority. And now, according to your word, I pray that your heavenly windows be opened, and may your blessings come down abundantly upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated.